As we prepare to hear our lesson from God's Word, let's pray together our prayer for illumination. Living God, help us to hear your holy word with open hearts, so that we may truly understand, and understanding that we may believe, and believing that we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord, amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, reading verses 28 through 3, verse 2. And as we read this together, listen for what the word of God is saying to you. In your lives, in your situation today, whatever it may be. Hear now the word of the Lord. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. As the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. In those days and at that time when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will enter into judgment against them concerning my inheritance, my people Israel, for they scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to begin this morning's message by reading to you, just so we have it fresh in our memories, from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, they being Jesus' disciples and a whole lot of other people gathered together in the temple of God. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he was received from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's from Acts chapter 2. Peter interprets this wonderful, wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit as the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. Now, when we think about the day of the Lord, what comes to mind for you? If someone says to you, the day of the Lord is near, the day of the Lord is at hand, and maybe they're wearing a sandwich board and walking around New York City, what do you normally think of? The end of the world, right? Or some cataclysmic event, right? Joel talks about the sun being blood red or darkness shrouding the entire earth. But Peter sees this glorious event happening in their midst and points to it and says, See, the gift of the Holy Spirit is the coming day of the Lord. It's been fulfilled. When the Spirit of God comes upon a place, all of the things that Joel mentions come to be. Sons and daughters prophesy. Young men see visions. Old men dream dreams. The Spirit poured out on servants, men, women. They prophesy. They show wonders, and mighty things happen. It's an appropriate text for us to look at on a day when we install elders and deacons into their offices. Because one of the things that our liturgy pointed out, one of the things that's in our baptismal liturgy, is that all of those who receive the Holy Spirit also receive a ministry. And those ministries are varied, certainly. Elders and deacons, they play different roles. They have different gifts. Sometimes when those of us who were brought up in the Reformed Church, when we hear elders and deacons, we tend to like place them in like a pecking order, where like the first thing you have to do is be a deacon. And then when you've been a deacon enough, then you get to graduate into being an elder. And then maybe, just maybe, you'll graduate into being a minister. So the minister is on top of the hierarchy, and then come elders, and then the poor, lowly deacons. But did you listen closely in the liturgy? It mentions the distinctive gifts of deacons and elders and ministers of word and sacrament, and then says, without all three of them, you don't get the whole mission of the church. Sometimes my kids will say, well, Dad, you're in charge of the church. And I pull out my liturgy book. No, I don't really do that. But in my mind, I'm thinking, no, I'm not. We all are. Together, those who are elected and installed as elders and deacons and ministers, we serve together in this way. And what's powerful about that, men and women, young and old, prophesying, dreaming dreams, seeing visions. This is the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the church. And when the consistory is humming along like a well-tuned machine, that's exactly what is happening. And in this church, we have certainly experienced the ministry of elders and deacons alongside of ministers. We have had elders from our congregations preach. We have had deacons from our congregation assist in worship, not only at our church, but in other churches, serving as preachers, liturgists, servants in other places. These are powerful ministries that the people of God are called to. And yet, sometimes, I think, there is a reluctance to agree to serve in this capacity. A person doesn't think that they could possibly be called to a ministry such as this. But the case we've been building from the Old Testament from 6 weeks ago to today is that we don't have a choice when it comes to our calling. Remember back to that story we told a few weeks ago from the book of Numbers of how Moses was complaining to God about the heavy burden of being the only leader for the people? And God said to him, well, choose 70 elders and the Spirit of God will come upon them and they'll prophesy too. And so the elders are chosen and they're gathered together in the tent of meeting. But two people decided they didn't want to go to the tent and they stayed in their own tents. But what happened? When the Spirit of God came, it came on them too and they prophesied. One of the things about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit does not wait for consent. The Spirit does not wait for you to say, okay. When the Spirit acts, when the Spirit works, the Spirit just works. So when people from all over the known world in that long list of names that I usually get some poor congregation member to read on a Sunday morning, all of those different places with all of those different languages, when they're gathered together in that place, do you think every one of them said to the Holy Spirit, well, okay, I guess I'll go ahead and talk? And no. This miraculous thing happens, and it just happens because that's the way that the Spirit works on the day of the Lord. Joel says, on that day, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. This is speaking for God. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young people will see visions. Old people will dream dreams. Servants, both men and women, the Spirit of God will be poured out in those days and they will prophesy. Not just kings, not just men of a certain age, but all people. the Spirit of God comes along and wipes out all of those distinctions and categories that we put together and says, no, you, stop ducking down, you. Spirit is pointing at you and saying, you are called to ministry. You are called to serve. And you don't have to go to seminary in order to do ministry, to be a minister. Are you a teacher? You're a minister. Do you work in an office setting? You're a minister. Do you work in a factory setting? You're a minister. Do you go to school? You're a minister. Do you sleep in a crib? Looking at you back there. You're a minister. Are you retired? You're a minister. Have you never worked? You're a minister. Do you work hard at home and don't get a paycheck? You're a minister. You are a minister. Because of your baptism, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We say it almost every Sunday in terms of welcome. Whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you've come from, you are a minister. And the Holy Spirit is present in your life, and the Holy Spirit is working in you. And the entire Bible points to that fact, not just the New Testament, not just the book of Acts, but all of the Old Testament as well. Because since from before the beginning, God had you in mind. Since before the creation of the world, God saw you and said, that one right there, she is a minister. He is a minister, and he is called to serve as an elder, as a deacon, as a missionary, as a minister, offering hospitality to strangers, cooking wonderful meals, cleaning houses, teaching children, adults, responding to people in need. Let your imagination run wild. Or when you're stuck in the doldrums at work and you're thinking, this is the most boring thing I've ever done in my life, just imagine. You're a minister. And what is God going to do through you? As we wrap up this series, this last title, Restoration and Empowerment, in the prophet Joel, God says, the Spirit of God being poured out on all people is how the people of God are going to be restored. And as we think about the world that we live in today, you think it could maybe use a little bit of restoration? Is there a little bit of rust around the edges that could be kicked off? Maybe major things wrong in the world that we live in today. But if the people of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, imagine themselves as ministers, imagine the restoration that would take place in our communities, in our homes, across the world. The Spirit of God empowers all of us, whoever we are, whatever we are, wherever we live. The Holy Spirit works in us as ministers to work for the restoration of our world. And so as we bring this series of lessons on the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament to a close, let's just recap the ground that we have covered. The Spirit of God gifts each one of us with gifts and talents to use for the service of God's people, just as God gifted the weavers that wove together the temple, the tabernacle of God amongst the Israelites in those early days of wilderness wanderings. The Spirit of God comes upon the people and raises up leaders to share the burden of leadership of God's people, like we just talked about in the book of Numbers. The Spirit of God comes along and, as with Gideon's story, strengthens us in the midst of our weakness, proving that even when we are weak, we are strong, in the prophet, in the words of the Apostle Paul. The Spirit of God convicts us of our sin, acting as the compass in our lives to remind us when we have done wrong, to repent, to turn around and seek the forgiveness that is offered through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that same Spirit that offers forgiveness then empowers us out of gratitude to live our lives in faithfulness to God. And finally, the Spirit of God poured out on all people empowers each of us as ministers to seek the restoration of our world. Thanks be to God for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who takes us as we are, ordinary people, and accomplishes extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We pray that as the Spirit moves in us, that you would increase our imaginations for the ways that we might serve. Lord, increase in us a sense of our empowerment, that we might have an impact on the world that you have called us to serve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.